Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 4, or if you have a bulletin, to page 6 of your bulletin. We're going to be looking at the story of Cain and Abel. You may be familiar with it. It's a lot like any good soap opera. There's murder, intrigue, envy, jealousy all over the pages of this chapter in the early book here of Genesis. So, will you pray with me and ask for the Father to open our ears so that we can hear from Him and live out His Word? Please pray with me. Father, we ask You now as we hear directly from Your Word and consider the meaning of it and what it means for us today, that You would make it very clear and that we would take these things into our hearts and then live them back out in the lives that You've given us throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was considering this passage and the meaning of this passage, I was reminded of a trip that I took with a friend of mine in high school. And we were on our way back from the beach in high school, and in his Jeep Cherokee, in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden, the car started overheating. Steam coming out of the front. We couldn't drive any longer. And again, it was in the middle of nowhere. There was one house that we happened to pull up next to when the car finally overheated. And myself and my friend, we both really didn't know anything about cars. You know, we knew enough to put windshield wiper fluid in it, maybe. But beyond that, we really didn't know anything about cars. So we did know, though, that the problem was under the hood, that it overheated. So we flipped it up. Steam comes pouring out all over us. And my friend and I look at each other, and he's like, well, I'm a soccer player. I'm going to go run to the next store, and I'll get some water. So he runs a half a mile. He comes back with a cup of water. We look at each other, like, what are we supposed to do? And he pours it on the engine block. It sizzles, steam comes up off of it. Obviously, this thing is still overheated. So we put the car in neutral, we push it down to the house just down the hill, and we pull the hose out, and we completely drench the car, completely drench the thing with water until it finally stops steaming, and it finally, seemingly, cools down. And we thought, all right, you know, problem solved. Get back in the car. Apparently, it had helped enough that we could turn the car on and start driving. But not very long down the road, the thing overheated again. Without going into any more details of how we finally solved the issue, the problem wasn't that we needed to pour water on the outside. The problem was at the heart of the engine. In the core of the insides of the car, there needed to be coolant fluids poured in and working its way through the whole thing. And then the car would stop overheating. The problem was at the core. The problem was at the heart. And what we're going to see today as we look at Cain and Abel is that it's the same thing with humanity. We're like that Jeep Cherokee. We've got a core issue, a heart disease even. We have a heart disease, and that heart disease is called sin. And the only way it's going to be dealt with properly so that we can run again as we were intended to, is if God does something about the core issue, not just the stuff that presents itself on the outside. So we're going to consider this heart disease, how it has affected us and society, and also the solution. But I want you to follow me on this journey as we look through this passage. So beginning in verse 1. Now, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. This name Cain is similar to the Hebrew word for gotten or possessed. I have come into possession of a son with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. So we have Adam and Eve, who have already given themselves to not trusting God in the previous chapter. But now they are still showing the blessing of God and that they're multiplying and producing offspring, and now they have not only one son, but two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain the firstborn, Abel born second. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. So far, so good. Now remember, when this was first written, this was written to a group of people who also received the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. These were Israelites who had been enslaved under Egyptian power and being brought out of slavery in the Exodus by God's powerful right hand. They've come to Mount Sinai and they're receiving the revelation of God about their origins and about how they ought to live now that God's moving into their neighborhood. And one of the things that God teaches them about is sacrifice and offering. And as we look at these sacrifices and offerings, what we notice is that they're both valid offerings. There's nothing wrong with either one of these. Cain is offering what's known as a grain offering, and he does it according to the law. Abel is offering what would have been an animal offering, and he's doing it according to the law. Both of these, on the surface, look very good. They're religious actions toward God, fine on the outside. But look what happens next. And the Lord, in the middle of verse 4, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Now, how is that possible if both of these sacrifices were valid, if they were offered in valid ways? Well, what we're seeing in this story is that what we cannot see, the Lord God can. The Lord God can see beneath the religious veneer of Cain to the heart that has been diseased by sin, a heart that comes to worship that, and on the outside looks like it's all okay, but on the inside really doesn't trust God, brings it for the wrong reasons. This heart, the problem is the heart. The heart's posture toward the Lord God. And so for Cain and his offering, the Lord had no regard. Now, Cain was very angry and his face fell as a result. You can see the emotion going on in Cain, the anger and the face falling, the shame, the frustration, the envy, the jealousy that's contorting his face as he feels that he is being rejected by God and not accepted, and he sees his brother being accepted instead of him. Now, here's where the heart disease really takes on. Because God steps in. God, with a kind voice, wants to address this problem. We see God being presented as somebody who's gracious and kind in this passage by giving Cain a way out. In verse 8, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen?" He's asking the question because he wants Cain to think about it. He wants him to consider these things. "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" Now, the invitation here in this economy of words is that Cain can change. Cain can be honest about his heart, that he really doesn't trust the Lord like he was acting like he did when he brought the offering. He can be honest about it, and he can repent and trust God. In this economy of words, God is inviting him back into a relationship with him. But Cain has to be honest and repent and trust the Lord. But God also kindly issues a warning. He says in verse 7, "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain, do you realize that if you give in to this anger and this envy and this jealousy that you have, sin is going to eat you alive like a predatory animal waiting right at the door. Do you get that? Do you understand it will dominate you? It will kill you. I don't want that for you, Cain. I want you to come back. That's how God reacts to Cain. But that's not how Cain reacts to God. Verse 8 says, "Cain spoke to Abel his brother." And again, in a very quippy way, very quick way, we hear how Cain decides to solve this. "Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." Cain gave in to the anger, the envy, the jealousy of seeing others accepted and not himself, and the shame of knowing that someone else knows that his heart is diseased. And the way that he reacts out of that, instead of honesty about what his heart is really like And instead of repentance and trust in the Lord, he decides to take that anger toward God and kill his image bearer. And we see this happen all the time in our lives, right? I've seen it happen in my life. I remember when I was at a church, I was in seminary. And there were only so many people who could be chosen to be an intern at that church. And when I got there, of course, as a seminary student, as someone interested in serving, I wanted to be that intern. But somebody else got chosen. And he was one of my best friends to this day. And I burned. My heart was revealed that there was something wrong even about the way that I wanted to serve at the church. And that when he was accepted instead of me, in my heart, I think it's fair and yet sad to say that I killed my brother. And this happens all the time. We see it in high schools around the country. Kids feel not accepted in the circles of their friends. And they'll even go so far to take it back out on the image bearers around them that they will bring guns into the high school and take out students and teachers out of the anger and the resentment about the acceptance of others and not themselves, out of the envy and the jealousy, instead of an honesty about their hearts not being right, about the heart disease that is at the core of who they are, and a turning and a repenting with a trusting heart toward the Creator, they turn and they kill their image bearer. So for you and I, and I hope that we've caught on already to the answer of our heart disease a little bit as we've gone through the worship service, but for you and I who have trusted in Jesus, we still struggle being like Cain, right? We still struggle with seeing ourselves and our hearts revealed by God saying, you do have a heart disease. You are a sinner. And we want to react in anger out of our shame. Do you feel shame sometimes about being a sinner? I mean, really? Real shame? Like, if anybody knew this about me, that they would never accept me? Do you ever feel real shame about some of the thoughts that you have about other people? Do you ever feel real shame about what you've wanted to do or what you've done and nobody knows about? How do you handle it? Do you turn and put down your neighbor? Do you turn and sort of kill your neighbor with gossip? Do you turn and kill yourself and put yourself down? Or do you deal with it honestly and say, you know, I really do have a heart problem. I have a heart disease. But I can be honest about that. And I can turn in repentance and do what is right, which is trust that Jesus Christ has died for my sins. And that I can again be accepted in the sight of God. When you see other people accepted besides you, or they gain the acceptance that you wanted, what happens? Do you identify with Cain at all, or is this completely off base? Do you feel like, why did they get chosen and not me? Do you feel that envy and that jealousy at what they have and what you don't have? And have you ever found yourself wanting to gossip a little bit about that person? To kind of, well, I can't take that from them, but I certainly can take it from them over here. Do you relate to this issue at all? I know we all do. We all have a heart disease. But the solution as God offers to Cain, he offers to you. Do what is right. Admit that you have this heart disease. And turn and trust the Lord and his word. We're going to come a little bit further, as we get further through this passage, to the solution. I really want to expand upon the solution when we get a bit further in the passage. But I want to note also that sin is not just a heart disease. It's a hereditary heart disease. You guys know about hereditary heart diseases or hereditary disease that gets passed on down the generations. Well, that certainly happens. Here we see in verse 17, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city. He called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And then we get a few generations that follow from Enoch. Now, what's amazing here is that even in the midst of all of this anger and resentment and murder and killing and jealousy and envy and so on, God is still being true to his blessing. That is, he told Adam and Eve when they were created, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, work it and subdue it. And he's doing that. God is continuing the blessing, even in the midst of this rebellion. He is allowing for Eve to have another child. And as we look at this passage, we see that her children, like Jabal and Jubal and Zillah, are creating culture. They're working and tending the earth. They're making musical instruments and iron and learning how to domesticate animals. Culture is happening. God's blessing is continuing. But we see the evidence of this hereditary heart disease carrying on through the generations. Verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Lamech is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Cain. Lamech said to his wives, note, Lamech has departed from the creational norm of monogamous marriage, one wife. He is already trying to obtain several, and he says, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. Lamech showing the image of God in him, that it's still being upheld in making and creating this beautiful poem. Just like the Creator, he has gifts and abilities to create poetry and music, and yet he's using it to the wrong ends. He's using it to boast and in bravado about men striking him just a little bit and him knocking them down and killing them. Just like Cain, he has inherited this heart disease. And it's playing out in his life too. He can't handle the rejection of others. He can't handle not being accepted. And he needs to take it out in his anger instead of being honest about his disease and turning and trusting the Lord. He goes on to say, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. This is the son of Cain. And in many ways, even as those who've come to trust in Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters of Cain. We have inherited this heart disease. It is hereditary. But we can think of sin as if it's just an action, just something somebody did once, and not a deep core heart disease that everybody has. Every single person that you have ever known or looked up to. All of your fathers, all of your ancestors, every great president of the United States, every Republican, every Democrat, every libertarian, every Muslim, every Christian, every Buddhist, every single one of us in this room right now still has a heart disease. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your children, we all have this heart disease. And it's hard. It can be hard to admit that. To admit that means breaking some family rules sometimes, doesn't it? No, whoa, you don't talk about grandpa like that. You know, grandpa didn't have a heart disease. Grandpa wasn't a sinner. He did everything right. But the reality, the difficult reality, but the one that is truly healthful and true, is that there isn't one person in your life who will always do only right by you. We will all fail each other at one point or another. We'll all fail each other. Your pastors, your teachers, celebrities, singers, news anchors, all of us. None of us has not caught this hereditary disease. We all have it. But there's something good about knowing that. There's something gracious and good about a community that knows that about each other. Because you can be around each other and you can be real. You can know that even if it's never said, that that person knows you have a problem and they're okay with it. You know, they've got the heart disease too. You've heard about burn camps, kids who've been burned really bad in some sort of fire, and they have all kinds of skin issues because of that. And they love when they can get together at a burn camp with other people who've got the same problem, because then they understand one another and they don't have to think about the issue all the time, and they can just relax in the presence of each other. We all have the same issue. We know that. We don't have to make it what we always talk about. It's the same thing with this deeper issue that everybody has. And in the congregation of Jesus Christ, it's not about being self-righteous. The first thing we need to know is that we all have a disease. We're like a great big worldwide burn camp. And we can know that about each other and accept each other even with that disease. Now, the good news is this disease isn't doing us in, though, either. Because sin is a hereditary heart disease healed by a blood transfusion. Did you know that? There's a healing for this heart disease. It comes through a blood transfusion. Let me explain. In verse 25 and 26, it says, Adam knew his wife again. She bears Seth. So here, the blessing of the seed, the offspring of the woman, is continuing. And remember what God told Eve back in Genesis 3? What he told everybody. He said, as he cursed the serpent, verse 15 of chapter 3, he said, I will put enmity, serpent, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So Eve's offspring, now in Seth, we see is continuing. The promise of a seed who will come and crush the head of the serpent, even as his heel is harmed in the process, that promise is still continuing as we see Seth born. And then as we follow the scriptures forward on into the New Testament, the great prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ, is born of woman. The offspring of Eve, the ultimate seed of Eve, is born. And yet it's funny, because just like Abel, the righteous Abel, the one who had come before God with a heart of trust and repentance, this Jesus gets killed too by the unrighteous, by those who were jealous and envious of the attention he was getting by all their neighbors. Jesus, like Abel, is killed and his blood poured into the ground. The earth swallowed his blood up. And in Hebrews 12, it says that Jesus' blood speaks a better word than Abel's. And why is that? Because Jesus' blood, spilled by the unrighteous, is able to, by the Holy Spirit of God, transfuse into us and heal us of our heart disease. This seed, this blessing would come, and that seed would destroy the serpent and his tactics. But God would do it in the most remarkable of ways. What man intended for evil, God is intending for good, as Joseph says at the end of Genesis. We see that most fully in the life of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection for us. When you think about heart disease, you can think of a variety of things that happen to people's hearts. My dad, he had a heart attack years ago. He survived it, but he was actually just outside, normal day, shoveling the snow, and all of a sudden he started having all the symptoms of a heart attack. The tight chest, the nausea, the dizziness. My mom called the hospital, and he ended up being okay. But we have symptoms of our heart disease too. And I can help you diagnose it right now. As Pastor Don mentioned earlier, do you ever struggle to be forgiving? Do you ever hold grudges? Are you bitter toward anybody ever? If you have, that is a symptom of your heart disease. But just like Lamech said, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. Jesus flips it all around. And he says, for those who are getting the blood transfusion by the Holy Spirit, you are able to turn around, and if somebody sins against you seven times, you will forgive him 70 times seven. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can heal you from your heart disease, which shows that symptom of unforgiveness. Who are you bitter toward? Who do you struggle to forgive? What are you unwilling to let go of that somebody did to you years ago, this past week, today? That is going to be where Jesus wants to work in you this week. You who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he has died and risen again for you so that you might be forgiven of your sins. You who have trusted in Jesus Christ are now hooked up by the spiritual blood transfusion machine. And the Holy Spirit is giving you all of the power of this blood that was spilled for your sake so that you can become the kind of person that forgives and lets go of the bitterness and the anger that, like that predatory animal, is taking you down. It is owning your life, and it will kill you. But praise be to God that our inherited heart disease is being healed through the blood transfusion of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the offspring of Eve. We thank you for the seed that has come to crush the head of the serpent. We pray, Lord, that in the midst of our day-to-day lives, that you would still help us to see that these things are true, and that we really can overcome unforgiveness. We really can overcome shame. We really can overcome envy and jealousy. Father, help us to be honest and to repent and to love you, our neighbor, and the world that you have made. In the name of your Son, the prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ, amen.